Now we have to deliver. Enough all talk, no action. We have to deliver. This is our chance to achieve great and lasting change for our beloved nation.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
To all the kids out there, I just want to say don't drink. You know, when alcohol is in your system, you do dumb stuff.
Lawmakers in Tennessee have proposed a law aimed at preventing pedophiles from operating ice cream trucks. Not fair, said kids who will now have to pay for their ice cream.
Hey, remember when Bean called that guy his personal lord and savior and then he turned out to be a pedophile? That was pretty funny.
I think maybe we should just sit here quietly now, not say anything, and let you just kind of contemplate on the news I just dropped on you, and let me kind of just contemplate on my own pains and sorrows right now, perhaps while I listen to this music.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Anyone for penis?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
2020, so the Roaring Twenties will be back.
Anybody got any questions?
Just pass it around.
Why do some people tune out?
And the bogart that joined, my friend.
You want to go to Hooters and get some soup?
Well, just pass it on down.
And now.
Oh, I get up at the crack of butt. So I've already done a ton of cool things today. Alrighty.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 3rd of August.
I'm sorry, it's what morning?
Friday morning. Thank you for asking, Bean. The 3rd of August.
Yay.
No, sir.
Friday. How?
Because no one celebrates Friday less than you.
God damn it, Bean. How many times do I have to tell you? Friday is never going to happen, okay? Friday will never be a thing. Now, Saturday, I'm down with Saturday.
Right. I like what that guy's got going on.
Look.
It just makes, you know what it is? I'll tell you what. You don't need to put whipped cream.
No, you,
here we go.
Go ahead.
Let him go.
You don't need to put whipped cream
on your pecan pie, okay? Pecan pie is great on its own, right. But you put whipped cream on it, it just makes it that much better. It's like, to mix metaphors, it's like the cherry on top. And I'm saying Friday is great. Everybody's excited about Friday. People are happy Friday's here. But now Friday, now it's not 100%. Now it's 110%.
Is it?
Weird. Yes. It makes me hate Friday.
It does, me too.
Yeah.
But it's Friday, you guys.
Yeah, we hear you say that.
Because it puts the yay in Friday.
I think it's also...
Muggs gets it.
I think it's also the person that's delivering it.
That might be
it. Because we all know that Bean couldn't care less that it's Friday. Mm-hmm. So he's saying it's Friday as if he's going to have a giant party this weekend.
Right.
He's not.
He might put some whipped cream on his pecan pie.
Maybe.
That's a party.
Like some people do.
Why do I feel like that's going into a file?
Well, yeah. You know.
So in other words, all right, before we move on. So if Katy Perry came out and said, guys, it's Friday, or she put out a new song, Friday, and everybody loves Katy Perry, you'd go, oh, isn't that cute? It's Friday. Because it would be coming from Katy Perry. But you're basically blaming the messenger here.
I think the messenger is delivering it poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we know the messenger, and we know that this is not true of the messenger.
Right.
Dude, I rage on the weekend.
Do you rage?
I rage.
Define rage. Mm.
I am unstoppable. I can't stop, and I won't stop.
Sleeping?
Napping. Right?
You guys don't know, man.
We do know.
All right, here's the thing I think you'll enjoy very much. I was very surprised. An interview on CNN about a service that has become very popular in Japan. I don't think we have the equivalent of this in the United States, but his name is Takanobu Nishimoto. He is 50 years old, and he founded an online Asan rental service.
What's Asan?
Asan rental service. It is older Japanese men that you can rent by the hour.
Older Japanese men.
Yes, men in their 50s and 60s.
For the purpose of...
What do you think the purpose is? What do you think you're renting elderly Japanese men for?
50 and 60 is elderly?
Chores around the house?
I mean... Some people would consider so, I guess.
Okay, so they're not doing anything real physical then, if...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was going to say they'll like put stuff together, like IKEA tables.
That's what I'm saying.
You can rent
fix stuff.
Them. Some people do rent them for things like that. That
topless.
They just need an extra pair of hands with, or
an extra pair of hands.
Right. Lift the box. By the way, one of the rules of renting an asan is nothing physical.
Okay.
What?
Nothing physical.
Then what's the point?
Meaning that no touchy. Okay.
I think we understand what no. Nothing physical means.
Almost everybody who rents them to have somebody anonymous that they can talk to.
That's just sad.
You rent a stranger for advice. You meet in a public place. You'll never have to see them again. People have things they want to talk about that are going on in their lives. They're having problems at work or problems at home or having depression or something like that. And they're worried that if they talk to people in their lives that they know, then stories will spread and clients will hear.
Sure.
And people are very, very private about their feelings.
Thank God you're here. I've killed 5 people in like the last week. I just don't know what to do with myself. Any advice?
So you rent them basically because you may not have an older person in your life that you can talk to, that you can trust, and this is an anonymous way to do that, which I think is somehow uniquely Japanese. I can't see something like that happening here at all.
No, we have bartenders.
Right, exactly. The company rents out about 45 osans a day. It ends up being about 10,000 encounters a year, apparently, it says here.
Wow.
They have about 80 what they call uncles in 36 cities all across.
I don't like the word uncle.
Yeah. Now it got weird.
Not happy with that.
And it's only $9 an hour, you guys. Over 10,000 men have applied for the job, but currently they only have about 80 or so.
That's terrible pay.
That's what if I'm listening to someone just whine and
right, $9?
No. No, sir.
Like, why is a therapist 150,
yes,
right?
Yes.
If you're listing for nine?
$9.
They did an interview with a man named Ken Sasaki, and you can also list special skills if you have them on your resume for people. And he happens to be a violinist, and he has been rented out numerous times just to play the violin.
Oh, I understand that. I love a violin.
Do you?
Yes.
Hmm.
Oh.
He said one of the oddest assignments he ever had is he was rented for a birthday party of a teenage girl who was, in his words, crazily fascinated by Korean pop stars. It was her and only two other girls at this party. They wanted him to wear a mask of a Korean pop star.
She needs more friends.
Yes, she does. So he put on a mask of this Korean pop star that he'd never heard of and played the violin, and the girls all jumped up and down and shouted the pop star's name as if he were there. That's a very strange request.
That's sad.
Another request came from a woman in her 50s who asked him to accompany her to a dance recital. She didn't have any friends or colleagues to attend. So sometimes
this
I guess
a sad
it's just
story.
It really has taken a turn.
Sometimes I think it's just you don't have anyone to go with you to a thing, so you want some company. You know, like we have.
But it's a stranger.
Yeah.
That's sort of sad.
It is a stranger. But, I mean, we've heard stories of people who rent escorts, not necessarily for the sex, but because they want to have an attractive woman, say, to go with them to an event.
Right, that's their story.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Well, anyway, I just thought it was interesting. A small percentage of people rent them for, you know, lifting boxes and things like that, but most people use it just to talk, just to have maybe a father figure or somebody around.
Who's topless?
I don't think there's anything in there about it. I don't.
Look,
I think that's
closer.
The opposite.
Read it again.
Well, you may want to start your own Osan service. It might be a little bit different.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
I'm not sure about any of that.
Steve-O.
Yeah, dude.
All right.
Love him so much. The King of Mexico is very dumb.
Yeah.
More proof today. What's up with the Illuminati?
Seriously.
Is it really a thing? How does it work?
Are we in any kind of danger for that topic? Are we going to be taken out if we get too close to the truth or anything like that?
I mean,
that?
Maybe that's question one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
is it safe to
know we just stop it immediately?
Right.
Let's talk about something else. John Sin, who won the World Series of Poker, $8.8 million.
Unbelievable.
That's not bad.
Young guy.
Yeah. $8.8
million. Wow.
And it's Friday morning, so we've got Keep It 100 as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with what's happening next.
K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Friday morning, Allie is here with our first look at what's up.
You guys, I cannot stop talking about that Dodgers game, though, right?
You didn't even know about it. I said, I'm the one that's not even a baseball fan. I said, did the Dodgers beat somebody like 21-5?
Sure did.
And Allie asked the unanswerable question of, what was I doing?
Seriously.
How are we supposed to know that?
What was I doing that I had no idea that this Dodgers game happened? And that score was the final.
I don't know what you were doing.
I was very busy, is the answer. But 21 to what?
Five.
Five.
For reals?
Yes.
Who are they playing?
Brewers.
Oh.
Nah.
Wow.
Right? I mean, 21 to five.
Like, lots of home runs. Couple seven. Grand slams.
One from Cody Bellinger, yeah.
Wow. What a game.
Right. That's what we were telling you just before we went on. When you said, what was I doing?
What was I doing?
Right?
Seriously. That's really impressive, though.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Go Dodgers!
It's a great point. That is a great point.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Beer Mug's mom was watching.
I don't know. I didn't talk to her. I don't know if they were losing. I think they were down.
They were down at one point?
They were down at one point, so she probably turned it off.
Absolutely.
Probably so.
That's awesome if she did.
Yeah,
that's
right?
Really great, because then she has to look today at the paper or wherever she gets it online and go, 21-5.
That's got to be a misprint.
Maybe I should have watched.
Mugs, what's it like with us making fun of your mom just to your face?
I love it.
Fun?
That's great.
But I mean, it does sound just like her.
Nailed it. So. Mine was a little cat's mom in there.
A little.
That's great. All right. Well, we know what we're going to be doing this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you can't make it to Vegas. Maybe you can't make it to Chicago for Lollapalooza. Why not have your own little couch-a-palooza, right?
I'm sorry?
Because Lollapalooza is going to live stream a bunch of this weekend's performances on RedBull.tv. Over 50 acts are scheduled to appear across four channels, including one channel devoted to an immersive VR 180 experience.
Interesting.
Right?
Hmm.
That might be kind of cool to watch. On mushrooms. Just kidding. Just be sober, guys. You can experience music. But among the highlights, I mean, this lineup.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Jack White, Arctic Monkeys, The Weeknd, Vampire Weekend, St. Vincent, The National, Churches, Greta Van Fleet, Franz Ferdinand. I mean,
pretty strong.
Not bad. And then, of course, your favorite, Tyler, the Creator.
Sure.
You loved interviewing him, right?
He was a lot of fun.
He was a blast.
He wouldn't shut up.
Yeah, just chit-chatty, that kid. RedBull.tv, though, you can watch the live stream of Lollapalooza. Did you hear about Wednesday night? What the hell is happening in Norway? Do you have no movie theaters there?
Wednesday night, what happened?
2,000... Well, particularly agile people wanted to see Mission Impossible. So they pulled off the highly improbable by successfully scaling Norway's famed Pulpit Rock. Apparently, you've seen the movie. It's the cliff that's the site of one of the most death-defying stunts
right.
in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They scaled that to watch the movie. So they all just hung out off the side of a cliff, and they had the movie just projected. What's
hanging on the clip the whole
hanging
clip
on,
the whole time?
Yes, yes. Well,
I thought they. I just saw the headline of the story, so I'm sure you have it right. But my guess was that they climbed it and then
got
on
the
top of it and watched it from the top.
Sure.
Sitting on the top.
Yeah.
You know, they just had to climb it.
Now
yeah.
doesn't
Why would
know.
They hang off the side?
Yeah, that seems hard.
It'd be a real
for two
cliffhanger,
hours.
Right? I'm sorry. Don't yeah, that would be hard.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly why they didn't. They watched it from the top.
From the top would make would make more sense.
Right, it would make more sense.
Disturbing, though, it was an open-air 11 p.m. screening of the action blockbuster, which meant that they then had to make the pilgrimage back down the mountain at, and by mountain, cliff.
Right.
1:30 a.m.
Okay.
But they, you know, illuminated by about 200 spotlights. What?
When does the movie open for them so that they don't have to climb a cliff and they can just go to a theater?
I mean, seriously. And of course, Tom Cruise, all about it. It's shocking he wasn't, you know, climbing
right.
up there with
sure.
him. But he did voice his support for those who did from the relative safety of Twitter. He tweeted, 2,000 feet, 2,000 people, 4 hours of hiking. The most impossible screening of Mission Impossible Fallout. Thank you all for coming. I wish I could have been there. I would fully expect to be climbing that cliff and look over and there's Tom. Like, hey,
yeah, but he flies
doing?
Right by you.
Right?
And you're like, come on,
so
man,
quick.
Slow down.
Guys, I won't go to the movies if the theater's on the other side of town.
Right?
And they're climbing a cliff to see this film.
For 4 hours.
If it doesn't come to the theater near my house, I guess I just won't see it is how I am. And look at these people.
And from, you know, all accounts, the movie is the best Mission Impossible that there is. But what if they got up there and they're like, this movie blows. I just hiked
I'm
4 hours.
I'm just going to dive down.
Got to do 4 down, right? Wow, that was not worth it.
Yeah.
But apparently it was. Hey, some birthdays for you. Oh, my God. James Hetfield, singer, guitarist of Metallica.
Darkness imprisoning me. All that I see. Absolutely all that I cannot live. I cannot die.
I mean, if he needs me to fill in.
Sounds better than ever.
I'm right there. Really good. Martha Stewart, Ed Roland. He's the singer, guitarist for Collective Soul. Evangeline Lilly, Tony Bennett, Martin Sheen, John C. McGinley. He's been in everything.
He has, yes.
But I think Office Space will forever be my favorite. Or Scrubs. Really great Any Given Sunday, too.
Right.
And Platoon.
Are we just kidding?
So you like everything?
Mostly Wall Street.
You like everything
well.
He's
like,
in.
That's when I first really... Mm-hmm. I love him.
Right.
I love him. Carly Kloss, she's a supermodel. Hannah Simone, she's an actress on New Girl. And L.A. Rams running back Todd Gurley.
Yeah!
All right. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Look.
I can't be the only one who's heard of this.
I haven't.
I have
really?
Not.
Mm-mm. Yesterday on social media, Peanuts and Coke was, or maybe it was Peanuts and Coca-Cola, was trending yesterday. And we start talking about it off the air, and I found out that none of you have ever put peanuts in your Coca-Cola.
No, because Coca-Cola is perfectly fine mm-hmm. as Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm. Coca-Cola is great. Yeah, sure, of course it is. But mm-hmm. you put peanuts in it, and it's an extra treat.
Is it an extra treat?
It's like putting whipped cream on your pecan pie.
Is it really? Wow.
Because Coke
you
is great.
You've a lot today.
And you put peanuts in it, it's even better. I did a little research last night, and I came across one of those YouTube channels, a very popular lady. Her name is Emmy, and she tries recipes that people ask her about. And somebody had asked her about the peanuts and Coca-Cola, and she also hadn't heard of it.
Hello, everyone. Hi, it's Emmy. Mm. Welcome back. Today, I'm going to be trying an interesting combination of Coca-Cola and peanuts. So I recently shared a little article on my social media about this interesting combination of taking Coca-Cola.
Here we got it.
And
butter
adding
peanuts.
A handful of salted peanuts right into the Coca-Cola and just drinking it and eating it simultaneously.
Right.
So I asked many of you whether or not this is truly a Southern thing or if you grew up doing this. And so I got tons of people responding that said, yes, this is a Southern thing. Others saying, no, I've never heard of it before.
All right. Here's my experience that it is a Southern thing because my father was from North Carolina.
Oh.
His father was from Georgia. Mm-hmm. And they each grew up. This, by the way, goes back to the 1920s, putting peanuts in your Coca-Cola. They each grew up and then passed along to me and my family, peanuts in your Coke. My whole life I had it.
Hmm.
And it is...
I feel like I'm being set up.
No.
Because there's Coke in front of me and there's peanuts in front of me.
Okay.
Yes. Am I just going to start puking immediately?
No.
Is that the funny part about it?
But aren't uh-huh. there, you are going to try it, though. But aren't there a lot of dessert combinations that are sweet and salty together? And that, I mean, like salted sure. caramel is a perfect example, right? Salted mm-hmm. caramel is exactly what we're talking about here. It's very similar to peanuts and Coke because you've got the salt that reduces the sweetness a little bit of the Coke, and then the sweetness of the Coke reduces the saltiness of the peanuts, and it just makes a tremendous taste combination.
Hmm. Sure.
Sure.
Does it make sense?
Absolutely.
Now, the thing that is different about it, and the mindset you have to have, Kevin, is it's not a drink at that point. It's more of a snack. Because
it's not a drink, it's a snack.
Because you're eating... You're drinking it out of a bottle, but you're also eating it because now it's solid, because now it's peanuts.
And are the peanuts going to be at the bottom? Does he have to get all the way through? Like
to drink the entire Coke?
How does it work?
No, the peanuts will float.
Float.
Okay.
The peanuts will float. All right, so you have a, unfortunately, it's not a glass bottle. It's best if it could be a glass bottle.
What difference does it make? I have a plastic bottle.
It's best if it can be Mexican Coke.
He's a traditionalist, Kevin.
Honestly, what difference does that make?
Because, look, lots of people believe... Rightfully so, by the way, that soda tastes better in a glass bottle.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So you need to drink some of that. I see your bottle. You need to drink some of that Coca-Cola mm-hmm. to create a little bit of room in the top of the bottle. Mm-hmm. And then you need to take a handful of peanuts and just drop them into the opening of the box.
Just tell me if I'm going to puke, because I need to know where
you're
to...
You're not going
to
puke.
Should they be salted? Unsalted?
Yes, they have to be salted. Okay. Are they salted peanuts?
Yeah.
Okay, they have to. And they can't be like honey nut roasted or anything like that. They have to just be salted peanuts.
Right, you don't want to go crazy with the honey nut roasted.
All right, put in a few more there.
I'm trying.
Right?
How many?
Don't pour them, Kevin.
No, you don't need to fill
the bottle. What do you all just
watch? He's making his hand a funnel. This isn't good.
No, that's too much. That's too much. Yes. You don't need that much, Kevin. You can always add more later if you like it. By the way, if anyone...
It's all peanuts.
If anyone wants to weigh in, if you're a Peanut and Coke fan, I can't be the only one
it
who's
looks
raised
terrible.
In a Southern family. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to weigh in. Okay, so I know that looks... That's not what you're
it
used to
seeing. It
doesn't
look great.
But you do you love Coca-Cola?
Yes.
Do you love peanuts?
Oh, it's bubbling, Bean. It's bubbling very nicely.
Sure, of course it is. That's a good combination.
I do love peanuts.
Those two things together. Okay, so the peanuts are in the Coke.
Yep.
And we are filming, and you can go ahead and take a drink and make sure to, open up your mouth so you get some peanuts in there.
Oh,
and
see, I did say peanuts. I see how that works.
Peanuts. Okay.
All right.
Here we go.
I mean.
It's a lot of peanuts in your mouth.
I know. Too many, maybe.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
Not lying. That's pretty good.
I mean, it's...
But why?
Again, it's different. It's not like just drinking a Coke. It's a snack is what
right.
it is.
But why? Oh.
Now, do you keep adding more peanuts as you drink more?
Good question.
I mean, you can. Or you can go, hey, that's all I want, and now I'll just, wash it down with a beverage.
Now, do you want them to soak
this
for a while?
This is a beverage.
Before you actually start going to town?
Ooh, good question.
No, they don't need to soak. I mean, honestly, once the peanuts are in the
right,
okay, you can just go ahead and drink it. It's
okay.
fine.
Oh,
but I keep refilling.
He's adding more.
He's added some more peanuts.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't ruin the Coke and it doesn't ruin the peanuts. So.
Right.
It's a taste sensation.
Isn't
I
don't it? Know that I go sensation, but it does taste like you're drinking peanuts and Coke.
What if now? I mean, you like this, obviously. Mm-hmm. What if you had an actual bottle? I mean, imagine the taste.
To buy a bottle of Coke?
Yes.
Because it's so much better than the plastic?
That's what he says.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he says.
Well, how about that? It's been around for 80 years, ladies and gentlemen, and just made its way to the K-Rock studio. I'm glad you enjoyed that.
I may do that again.
It's a treat.
A taste sensation.
It's a treat.
The Kevin and Bean Show. Mornings on K-Rock.
Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer.
Hey, guys.
Made an unusual... choice this week that I feel
made
like
made one in a continuation of unusual choices.
Yeah,
well, I feel like the neck beard was a weird choice. Another one. I feel like we need to explore this a little bit, Dave. What happened to you the other night?
All right, first of all, I think I'm starting to get with Allie and think that
you're getting with Allie.
No. I mean, on her level,
you guys at least wait to get to Vegas.
Getting on my level,
yeah, and think about it. Going to the gym is a bad idea.
Yes.
Wait, why?
I mean, I almost got in a fight at the gym over a stupid basketball game, and now I almost got my eye poked out.
Right, but that...
Yeah.
Okay, but it's what happened after you almost got your eye poked out that we'd like to talk about.
How did you almost get your eye poked out?
Well, I was playing basketball again, and, a pass came my way, a cross-court pass, and this guy went for the ball, but instead of getting the ball, he went right up in my eye, gave me just a big uppercut into my eye. I fall down immediately in pain.
Your right eye is completely red.
It's still a little bloody.
Yeah.
And
your eyelash.
Oh,
your eyelid seems to have a hole in it.
It has a gash in my eyelid.
Oh, don't say gash.
Yeah. So I'm missing.
Is it moist?
it's a little wet, dude. Yeah. It's a little drippy right now.
What?
All right.
So you have a hole in your eyelid.
Yeah, the guy.
And your eye is red.
When he poked my eye out, he literally took a piece of my eyelash or my eyelid, and I started bleeding everywhere.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
So then
So you did what normal people would do, and that's go out to your car and drive to a hospital and just get checked out because it's your eyesight.
I couldn't because when I got up and I opened my eyes, I couldn't see out of my right eye where I got hit.
Okay. So you said to one of your friends,
blurry.
Hey, take me over to the ER.
Well, I don't have friends at the gym right now.
Okay.
So I'm just, I go to get first aid and I wipe it. And then, as I go get the first aid kit from the gym, the employee looks at me and goes, and I was like, oh, come on, don't do that, guy. I was like, oh, so I'm thinking that my eyes just ripped apart. And I'm really nervous because I can't see out of it. So I wipe it, and then I flush my eye a little bit, and I still it starts to come back a little bit. But then
your eyesight?
My eyesight, yes. Yeah. And then it's still a little blurry, so I can't drive. So I'm like, all right, I'll just wait. So I keep flushing, I keep wiping.
There's too much wiping and flushing.
Exactly.
relaxation.
We're not talking about that.
Yeah. And then, you know, I just take a shower, and then, you know what? I look into the mirror, and my eyesight's fine. So I just drove home and went.
So you didn't get it checked out?
No, not really, no.
How's it feeling?
Well, listen, I definitely have a black eye right now, and it feels like I got punched square in the eye.
Yeah. And your eye is red.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my eye is a little...
And you have a hole in your eyelid.
Yeah, I do have a hole in my eyelid.
So what are the chances you should maybe get that looked at?
And he says it's throbbing, like around
it is
the
throbbing
hole,
around
like
my
the
eye
whole
socket.
Orbital.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah, listen, it's like getting punched in the face. Look, you're going to get cut, no big deal. It's you don't go to the doctor every time you get punched in the face.
Okay, look how hard he's being right now.
Here's the thing, though. When you get punched in the face, you can sort of tell wherever you get hit, you can tell how much damage could be done there.
Right.
When it comes to your eye, you could lose your eyesight.
Well, I mean... That's a much
more extreme thing than getting punched.
Yeah, I mean, listen, at the extreme case, you can go blind. But I didn't scratch my cornea.
I'm a worst-case scenario guy, and if the worst-case scenario is blind, I take care of it.
If my eyeball's falling out, if it's in my hand, then I go to the doctor. If a little blood and a little blurriness, I'm good. And now...
So you're going to wait until your eyeball is in your hand.
Yeah, then maybe I'll go.
Maybe.
So a stranger's finger went in your eye after it was on basketball, God knows who else it was on.
Right.
Imagine the
where else it was on
Thank
those people.
You.
Listen,
the
I told you.
In your eye.
I
right
had
now.
Antiseptic wipes. I put Neosporin on it so we could.
Okay, yeah, you didn't
so
mention that. You're good.
Yeah, I'm fine.
What
I'm
about
fine.
Your eyeball? What about your eyeball?
My eyeball's completely fine now.
It isn't.
Yeah, it. Wow.
We're
your entire
at
eye
it.
Is bloody.
Well, yeah, because I got poked in the eye.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, but it's clear enough. Oh, you should have seen when it was when it happened. It was all red. Like I had a red eye. Like you know when you take a photo and it's a red eye.
Right.
That's and it cleared up because
It didn't clear up.
It's going to take a couple of days to clear up.
How do you know it's not going to get worse?
Because
maybe you should go to the doctor.
If it was getting worse, it would have been worse by now. And it's getting better. So
yeah, I'll jump in for just a second here.
Yes, sir.
Is the thinking, Dave, that the doctor couldn't do anything that you couldn't do yourself?
Exactly. Look, when I go there, he's going to be like, "Here's Advil and put some ointment on this," and it's $1,000.
Because there are some injuries.
I'm good.
And maybe we need to make this a phone topic another day where people can call in and talk about the way they've hurt themselves, and then people want them to go to the doctor and they didn't. There are some injuries where the doctor really can't do anything for you other than the first aid that Dave applied to himself. For instance, you know, I've broken my ribs a few times.
Right. Well, I can do nothing about that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. It's a very, very painful thing. You've hurt yourself badly in some cases. But if you go to the doctor, he'll just say, "Sorry, I can't help you. You can't wrap it. You can't do anything." You know, you just have to let it eventually work itself out. Maybe it's the same deal with Dave's eye. Maybe that's his guess on this.
I broke my nose and just straightened it. When I was in college.
And it turned out fine. Look at it.
I mean,
it looks good.
Fine-ish.
You are
it's still a little crooked.
Dudes, what is wrong with you?
It's
go
just
and
such
get
a hassle.
Checked
have
out.
You gone to an emergency room recently?
I have. Recently? No.
You have a family doctor.
Like
you
could have gone a year, Allie.
You could have gone to your family doctor yesterday, for example.
You could have used the Heal app. They could have come right to your house.
And then I would have been $100 down just to be like, "Yeah, here's some ointment." Again, I don't need it.
You don't
need it. If there was if I was blurry today, I would be in the hospital right now.
That's not true.
Absolutely not. After Vegas, maybe I'll think about it.
No, I would have went to make sure I could go to Vegas. See?
Okay, here's the solution, guys, and I think you guys will back me up on this. We want Dave to go to the doctor, right?
Right.
Poke him in the other eye.
I like it.
Okay.
Now I'll just put my hand up.
Give him a matching set.
There you go. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
I feel like you have a lot less control over your dog than you thought.
Oh, yeah.
Steve-O. Steve-O was like, up. Up.
First of all, let me introduce the most beloved man in show business, ladies and gentlemen. Comedian, TV personality, stunt performer, our friend Steve-O, back on Kevin Bean.
Thank you, guys.
You brought Wendy in. Is it true that you found Wendy in the street in Peru?
In the streets of Juarez, Peru.
No kidding.
That is correct.
How did you get her back to the United States?
Well, I was down there shooting that YouTube Red series, Ultimate Expedition, where we went down. It was like
that show at Skynet or someplace over in Europe?
No, it was YouTube Red.
YouTube Red, okay.
And it was essentially mountain climbing with the stars. It was me and Chuck Liddell and a few other people.
Okay.
And so I knew we were going to be at this base camp up in the mountains for like 3 weeks. And I thought, oh, let's bring a dog, you know, if there's dogs all over the streets.
Right.
And that's how I found Wendy. And
did Wendy have a collar on when you?
Oh God, no.
When you found her,
God, no.
You took it off.
You didn't steal somebody's dog.
Right, that's what I'm asking.
Right, I didn't steal anybody's dog. and evidently she did not have any owners because we got her into a bathtub and the water was just solid black.
Oh man,
that was all they would let us do at the hotel. They sort of caught us sneaking her up to the room. I was like, can we just give her a bath? And then that's it. And they said, okay, give her a bath. But that's it. And so they pitched a tent for me, and I slept with Wendy outside the hotel until we went up into the mountains.
Is that right?
Yeah. And it was so great. We just fell in love with each other. And when it came time to come back to the States, I didn't have to do anything. It was the production just took care of it.
Oh, nice.
They figured it out,
and,
yeah.
And it was apparently quite an ordeal.
Quite a hassle, yeah.
Quite a hassle. Now, so
I don't want to get too in the weeds on this, but she probably spoke Spanish, right? So then she had to learn English when she came to live with you, right?
Well, evidently she doesn't know anything I'm telling her.
I mean, okay. All right. Clearly, that just happened. So
Steve-O is at the Irvine Improv, three big shows this weekend. Tonight and Saturday night, and I guess improv.com to buy your tickets, Irvine Improv for the great Steve-O on stage. 21 and up. Why 21 and up this time around? Because you're kind of famous for your all-ages show, Steve-O.
Oh, I mean, I didn't know that I am famous for my all-ages show.
I didn't either.
But this tour is different. I started doing the stand-up after the Jackass stuff, and after I taped my first special, I was building the new act, and it occurred to me one night, wow, like all of these stories I'm telling like happened on camera.
Mm-hmm.
So what if I made a comedy special where edited into the stand-up was the actual footage of the stories I'm telling?
That's a great idea.
And that got me really excited. It worked out really well, and I ended up not wanting it all to be like a memory lane journey. And so I filmed a bunch of new stuff and cut that in as well. So I taped the special back in January, and building the new act, it's just 100% new.
Right.
You know? So the premise for this new show is, I'm in a messed up situation. I'm Steve-O in my 40s.
Right.
Which is
accurate.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in.
Sure.
and so now I feel like this can only go really one of two ways. Either I just kind of quit, or things have to get so dramatically messed up.
Right.
And that's what's the case. That's what's going on, is that I'm going after what I call my bucket list.
Okay.
And this
Your
is...
bucket list and mine are very different, I assume.
Right.
I assume.
Right. My bucket list is largely ideas that I've had, you know, for really like decades in some cases that
okay.
just could not happen for you know, any number of good reasons.
Now, the video that you just showed me, are you going to be showing that tonight at the Irvine Improv?
Uh-huh. So
maybe you should be 25 and above.
Yeah, well, maybe you should have to sign a release form to enter the theater.
We
actually will have like legal,
you will
like, sort of on the wall, you know, like by entering here again, because it's pretty heavy. And so this with this whole new tour, it's Steve-O's bucket list tour, and I'm simultaneously filming the bits. You know, like the sort of the stunts, whatever the bits may be,
mm-hmm.
as I develop the stand-up material around
it. Gotcha. And you say it's the most dangerous stuff you've ever done.
I mean, in some cases, yeah. Like the General Anesthesia Olympics is
Steve-O. Explain that to me, please.
This one is, it's that idea started a long time ago. As the tranquilizer dart foot race, where they would shoot a tranquilizer dart into our butt cheeks,
uh-huh.
me and one of my buddies, and then that would start the race where we run for distance.
Right.
I adore that.
How far did you get?
No.
How far did you get?
We're still in the planning stages.
You haven't done it yet.
So this is one that hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
And, oh, man, it's so upsetting, too, because when looking into the tranquilizer darts, they take, like, 20 to 30 minutes to take effect, and we just don't have that kind of time. I'm not
sure. Plus, you can't run that long.
Right.
Mostly right. That.
So then I thought, okay, well, I mean, I've had plenty of surgeries. I understand how general anesthesia works. Mm-hmm. So if I can, like, have an IV in my arm,
mm-hmm.
and then I get on a bicycle.
Right.
And they plunge into the IV an induction amount of general anesthesia,
uh-huh.
say like maybe 20 milligrams of etomidate.
I mean, that's right. A solid
that's
plan.
It's pretty specific, but okay.
That's the safer bet for the guy in recovery. You know,
that's okay. A solid plan.
I can't
see anything going wrong with that.
They call it what?
They call it vomidate. It's not pleasant, like propofol.
Okay, right.
So now, like, that gives me about 10 to 15 seconds to pedal like the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And then lights are out, and I have this great crash.
But you don't know you've crashed, so all good.
Right, and I went to Knoxville to see if he wanted to do it with me, and he said, I think that's all you, Steve.
It is funny when you go to Knoxville and he says no.
Well, right. It wasn't that he's like afraid of it. He just says me taking a lot of drugs, like I don't, you know.
Right.
And he said, but to go to that length, these great lengths, he says, why do you only have one moment where you crash a bicycle? He says, why not juggle hammers with 5 milligrams? Like, you know, like, do all this. So it's great.
So you refined it into a better bit.
Right. And another one on the list, which I'll be careful how I explain this one, is, you know, anytime anybody ever asked me if I've been skydiving that mm-hmm. I can remember,
right,
I always said, hell no, everybody does that, grandmas do that. And then mm-hmm. I went on to say, if I go skydiving, you know, the first time you have someone strapped on your back, I'm going to be totally naked, and I'm going to be furiously pleasing myself in the airplane as I'm totally naked.
Okay.
And when I pass the point of no return, perhaps after the first...
Right. Got it. Yes, we understand.
You're passing both points of no return at the same time. Mm-hmm. I understand.
Then out the plane, I'll jump. And I don't know if I would even want to say what the title of the...
I think probably not. I think people get a pretty good idea of what's going on.
How does this man's mind work, Kevin?
Well, he just explained it to you.
Right. But how does it work? How do those two things come together? Who put skydiving and masturbation in the same
bit? I love Steve-O, but I don't want to be his tandem. No, thank you.
So when I was taping this comedy special in January, I'm behind the bar at the back of the theater because I'm gonna come running through the crowd. And I'm about to, it's about to be me. I'm about to make my grand entrance.
Right.
And this kid spots me. He says, yo, Steve-O. And I'm thinking, not now, dude. It's not the time. I'm totally ignoring the kid. And he says, dude, you got to go skydiving. I'm a professional skydiver. And I'm like, well, okay, this is too important. So I just totally just give this kid my attention. I'm talking to him on the other side of the bar. I say, well, I do have this idea. And I explain, uh-huh. you know, the whole thing. And
so they're on the fifth time going, ladies and gentlemen, Steve-O.
Right?
We promised each other.
Right. The kid looks at me. He goes, oh, dude. That wasn't against the rules, right?
No, of course not. Very close. It was very close.
This sounds like the most...
I got his number.
Wow.
Well, if somebody says that to me, I'm getting their number too. This is the most... this sounds like the most fun Steve-O stand-up show ever.
Oh, it's the most fun. Yeah. Like, there's... It's... The list is really pretty voluminous. And
I'll bet.
That's not all.
I mean, when you've done...
And it's...
You haven't seen the video.
Right. And, I don't know. I mean, I'm
here's what
so
I love about Steve-O is that he always comes, when he does April Fool's, he'll mm-hmm. say, hey, do you guys want to know what I'm going to do? And we go, nope.
Right.
It's best
don't
like,
tell us.
The other ones that I've done, and it gets pretty graphic. This is another reason why.
It gets pretty graphic.
It's like, well, yeah.
The last one
we're not there yet, Allie.
The one in the airplane was
it was pretty graphic.
Really graphic.
Yeah. See how it could be more so.
Right.
All right. So tonight at 7:30.
The vasectomy Olympics already happened.
The vasectomy Olympics.
Yeah, like, because nut shots are always, you know, they never get old. And so I figured...
They get old if you're the guy taking them.
Right.
I assume.
Oh, man. I turned my garbage into a straight plum.
Mm.
Just straight plum.
Okay. Like, I'm gonna call it right here, you guys. I'm going to call it. Tonight at 7:30 on stage at the Irvine Improv. Two big shows tomorrow night, 7 and 9:30. Obviously, you can't miss this one based on what you've heard so far. Improv.com, 21 and up. Steve-O, do you have any thoughts on the Illuminati?
I don't.
It's a strange question, I know.
Okay, well, then we will let you go, because we got Illuminati talk coming up next
year.
Okay,
good.
I want to make sure, you know, find out if you were in it or something before we send
you. If you want to stick around, you can.
Oh, I'd love to, but one last question I want. Do you know how fascinating the process of a vasectomy is? I had no idea until it was happening to me.
I don't. Here's what I remember from mine. Please don't let it be a hot nurse. Please don't let it be a hot nurse. Hot nurse. And then I see smoke. I yelled, I see smoke!
That's all I remember.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
It's not exciting?
Well, it's exciting for me and my fiancé.
Oh, my God.
Okay. All right, Steve, are you going to stick around? You're not going to stick around. All right.
I'd love to, yeah.
Steve-O's going to stick around. We will talk Illuminati when we get back. Thank you, Steve-O.
Kevin and Bean Show, world famous K-Rock.
Next hour, by the way, John Sin is going to be joining us in studio. He is the 2018 World Series of Poker main event champion. Steve-O, how much do you think he won winning the World Series of Poker last month?
John Cena.
Sin. No, John Sin.
John Sin.
John
Sin. Not Cena.
Yeah. No. What do you think he won playing poker?
Very different.
Okay, World Championship mm-hmm. of Poker. It's going to be in the millions.
Mm-hmm.
$15 million.
That would have been nice. It's about half that, though. $8.8 million he won playing poker in Las Vegas.
Good. I just watched a documentary about lottery winners.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
And how it destroys their lives?
It's pretty dark.
All right. Steve-O is here, by the way, Irvine Improv this weekend. But we want to turn our attention to a story that Ali brought to us a couple of days ago about Dan Reynolds, the very popular lead singer of the band Imagine Dragons. He had a little fun on Twitter the other night that kind of spiraled out of control for some people. Right, Ali?
Yeah, he was posting videos claiming that he was not only in the Illuminati, but he could get in big trouble because he was about to name names. And it was a series of about three different videos, and then outlets started picking it up, like, Dan Reynolds is in the Illuminati. And he's like, this is insane. But it was actually pretty fun to watch, but apparently concerning to actual people. Yeah, but here's a taste.
Okay, guys, the time has come. I'm just going to break it quick, clean, get it done with. Doesn't matter that I signed a blood oath. Doesn't matter anymore. The Illuminati's real. I'm a member. It's how Imagine Dragons got famous. I'm tired of the politics.
He's tired of the politics, but now let's find out who else is in it.
This puts me at great risk putting this out here and telling you guys this, but I believe in full honesty, and Beyonce is not talking, Chris Martin, nobody's saying a word, so there it is, there.
But who else, Dan Reynolds?
I'm going to give you all the details as quick as I can. The president, Elon Musk, vice president, Harry Styles, treasurer, Beyonce, Taylor Swift is historian, and that's all I know.
I mean, seriously, Taylor Swift is the historian?
She's the historian.
People are taking him seriously.
Absolutely. So then he said, I can't believe I have to post this video.
Hey, guys. This is live coming to you from the Illuminati headquarters here.
The headquarters.
Yeah.
So I can't even handle the news outlets that have picked this up. You guys should be ashamed of yourself. That's my only comment.
Yeah, he wasn't talking about real Illuminati.
Now, look.
But real Illuminati exists.
I want to ask you, Kevin, because you watch a lot of these shows, fictional and non-fictional, mm-hmm. about secret societies.
Yep.
You don't doubt that there are people pulling the strings who are not publicly attached to pulling those strings, right? Do you?
I don't. Not only do I not doubt it, I fully believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Fully believe it.
I really do think, especially when it comes to politics in this country, there is a lot of dark money behind a lot of candidates that
Agreed.
They are just puppets for, that they are just doing the bidding of because they are being propped up by somebody with money behind the scenes who's not who you voted for.
Now, is it a bunch of separate people, or is it an actual group called the Illuminati?
Well, this is what we always hope will turn out to be true, is that whether it turns out to be, you know, Beyonce and Jay-Z and Chris Martin and Dan Reynolds and everybody else.
Chris Martin is being in the Illuminati.
I don't. I can't picture the Coldplay dude really pulling the strings of the world. But we do, there is a certain romanticism with there being a secret society where there are all these, you know, this handful of people who run the world and we don't know who they are, and they get together and they make decisions that affect the rest of us.
How do you feel about that, Steve-O?
Well, is it like the, what is it, the Masons?
The Freemasons.
Sure, Freemasons, yeah.
So that's like an actual thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a real secret society.
And the Illuminati is like the Egyptian pyramid on the dollar bill.
Yes.
That's
yes.
all I know about
okay.
it.
Do you believe in it? Do you believe there's a group of people who are rich and pulling strings everywhere they want?
I certainly believe in lobbyists, you know, swaying politicians.
Sure.
Like the NRA and stuff. But I don't know that... The anything I don't know that anyone's that good at keeping secrets. I think that's why I struggle with the 9/11 conspiracy theories, because the extent to which people would have to be adept at keeping secrets.
Agreed, which
when
we,
they're not.
Which we cannot do.
Right. Right.
Same with man going to the moon.
Right.
Yeah. People in the government cannot keep secrets.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, anybody, I think, in this day and age is going to struggle to keep things secret, and especially when so many people have to be in on it and keep it a secret, that I think to be effective, the Illuminati, I just don't care that much or buy it.
I bet our, look, we have listeners who are flat earthers, Steve. We've got listeners who believe everything. So if you're...
I screwed up one time. Sorry for interrupting there.
Yeah,
but
sure.
But I weighed in on it on my social media.
Oh, and, yeah, don't do that.
And the Imagine Dragons account actually follows me on Twitter. I was so excited about it. I followed him right back. Right. But when in 2003, shooting Wild Boys, they got me in a Russian MiG fighter jet. You know, this thing goes faster than the speed of sound. It was crazy. It was a really expensive thing, too. And I got in it and went up to the edge of the Earth's atmosphere. And with my video camera, I videotaped where it had been noon and the sky was blue and it was a sunny day. And we went up in this airplane faster than the speed of sound to the point when it was essentially night.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was dark and I'm looking at the Earth from the edge of the atmosphere.
Don't you tell us it was flat.
No, it okay. wasn't. But, but then I recently posted this sort of a nostalgic thing, and I made the post say, for all you flat earth dip S's,
right.
You know, like, here's this footage I personally shot from the edge of the Earth's atmosphere,
and you can see the curve.
It's round.
Mm. Yeah, right.
Round. And I could not believe.
Oh, yeah, they come after you full on.
I just could not believe the volume of comments from people who are. Believes that it's flat, mm-hmm. and we're really upset with them.
And why are they so invested in the Earth being flat? Like, how does that make things better for them?
I don't get it, because especially, like, if anybody's traveled enough, you think, okay, well, if the destination is Australia, you leave that way. From LA.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Like, it's the shorter distance to Australia is that way, but if you're going to England, then you
go that
way.
You go
the other way, right.
Right.
All right.
So wouldn't that do the trick?
So just to make sure that we're not getting sidetracked,
right.
Flat earthers, dumb, but don't respond to us. But Illuminati.
I think.
If you believe it.
Yeah. We want to hear it. We want to hear it. Look,
absolutely.
We want, what details about the Illuminati do you know that you can share with us? And you don't have to use your name, by the way. We'll protect your identity if that's what's needed. But a lot of people believe, and maybe there is something to this New World Order. Maybe there is something to, you know, we're all puppets and they're telling us what to do and think and believe. I don't know. You tell us what's going on with the Illuminati. We want to take your calls right now. 1-800-520-1067 to talk to Kevin Bean, Allie, and Steve-O when we return. Right
Wouldn't it suck if the head of the Illuminati got busted like Harvey Weinstein?
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Talking about the Illuminati, the secret society that runs the world. It's not Beyonce who runs the world, but maybe she has a seat at the table. Let's go with Ken up first. Buzz, you hang on. We'll talk to you after we talk to Ken and Corona. Thank you for calling, sir. How are you this morning?
What's up, Bean?
Ken, what's up with you? We're talking about the Illuminati. I'm going to be honest when I tell you that we know very little about it because, well, it's a secret society and we're not in it. What do you know?
It's pretty much just a group of people that are pretty much the highest of the elite, just the ruling class is what it comes down to, and they want one thing, and that's control. They want to control society.
So you're saying the richest people are the Illuminati?
Not just the richest people, but the ones with the most knowledge. From what I know, or from what I've pretty much looked into, the Illuminati originated as the illuminated ones, the ones with all the knowledge and all the power.
Okay, and who are they controlling? Are they controlling all the world governments? Are they controlling industry? Are they controlling the healthcare system? What are they controlling?
They're trying to control the world little by little. They're going there. I mean, they're taking out countries, going to war, all that good stuff.
So you think these people who are the rich and powerful can go to war?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And the best part is they'll persuade the public to support it.
Okay, now how do you know all of this?
I went to a meeting once. No, just kidding.
Hey, look, no, we saw Wag the Dog. They make wars popular. Sure. There's no question. Somebody makes wars popular. I don't know who, but somebody does.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And I think the funniest part is
it gets blown out of proportion, and that's what kind of makes it sound like quackery. You know what I mean? That's what makes it sound all crazy.
So it's okay. A much less version of what everything is made out to be.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at it like this. The term conspiracy theory was thrown out there, by them just to discredit people. Conspiracy, in its basic term, is people that get together and come together for a certain outcome for their own interest. And anyone that knows anyone, I mean, the richest people are not going to just sit around and hope that they stay rich. I mean, they're out there making moves, trying to control what they can.
All right.
Okay. All right, Ken, that's a good start. We appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. Let's go to Fontana now. Let's say hi to Buzz. By the way, if the media is controlled by the Illuminati, how do they know that we're not saying all this to throw people off the scent of what's really going on?
Right. Boom.
Right?
Buzz?
Buzz. Yeah, you're right. Hello?
Hi, what you got for us?
Oh, okay, well, this is I don't really believe in Illuminati because it does sound like much crazy stuff, but, like, when I heard about this place called Selenium Grove, it's like this secret club, and, like, they meet up in Northern California, and, like, all these people of influential power all meet up there. I think it's, like, an April or May. I forgot. I think it's in April.
I'm sorry, they meet where? In a...
It's like in the forest up north.
In a forest. Like they meet in a forest, okay.
Yeah, it's not a forest, but it's like a country club, but it's called Bohemian Grove.
Okay.
So like years and years, like people of influential power have been meeting up there. Like you got like politicians, like ex-presidents. The Queen of England came down one time.
I think we would know if the Queen of England were in California.
Oh, that's what they want you to think, Bean. No,
there is a documentary about this place that I've seen.
Is there really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's tricky, dude. Like, I never really, like, gave thought to, like, Illuminati. I know it's crazy talk, but, like, when you find out that people of all this influential power are meeting up north and they close down the whole town, like, you can't get in or out. Like, literally, like, you can't, like... Like, if we knew you try to go there, like, when they're having this meeting, like, they won't let any of us in. Like, it's crazy.
Right,
like,
the queen would have us killed.
Yeah, but that was years ago. But, like, it happens every year. But, like, and they say that they talked about dropping the nuclear bomb there, like, before they even did it. Like the presidents and a bunch of people were there, and, like...
So hold on, let me just stop you 1 second. So just so I understand, so it wasn't just the U.S. government that got together and had that decision about how to end World War II with the atomic bomb. You're saying other people, other powerful people from around the world were all involved in that decision to influence what our government did?
I don't necessarily that one, but like think about it, they didn't have to drop that bomb. Like they didn't have to do that, like. I feel like they just wanted to test their power and flex, you know.
Or they wanted to end World War II. I mean, that's another option, right?
True, but China or Japan didn't have white rice for like 2 years. They weren't ready for an invasion. They weren't ready for like if we would have.
It's a good point.
Guys, Japan did not have white rice for like 2 years.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they were starving, dude. They weren't ready for an invasion. Like the U.S. would have came in and like rocked the world, man. But, like, okay. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I gotta tell you that between Ken and Buzz, I think we've blown this wide open today.
We're in?
I think so. I think it's clearer than it's ever been.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, KROQ.
Got a couple of things to keep in mind this weekend. First of all, K-Rock Block Party Weekend is happening starting today at 5 o'clock with lots of sets by your favorite artists. Plus, while you're out and about, why not stop by a SoCal location near you for the Hot Topic store? Pick up the brand new K-Rock Gorillaz sticker and get all the information on how you can see a free show with the band for you and a bunch of friends. Also win a 2019 Honda Fit and a $500 Hot Topic gift card. All of that at krock.com for details.
Right now, it's time for your feedback on the AFRO line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. You can call about any topic.
Hey, y'all, I just made it into the Avocado Hand Club. 2 stitches, who's with me? Avocado Hand Club.
I love her.
Never heard anybody so excited about cutting
white
herself.
White people are the best,
right?
Hey, Omar, I just listened to your camping story, and I just got to say, you're a really great dad, and I'm glad that you did not get eaten by a bear, and neither did your children, because you're a good guy.
Where is that coming from?
Right?
Who's not the Omar I know?
Who goes through these calls and keeps them or deletes them?
Right.
It's Omar. Right.
You're so handsome, too.
You remember when people used to be able to say something and half the world didn't get offended? Yeah, I miss those times, too. I wouldn't be surprised now if the roided Raccoon Times wrote an article coming after Omar for saying that that raccoon looked like he was on steroids. Way to go, Omar. Racist.
Right? I'm extremely offended that that guy called and left that message. I don't think he should be allowed to. He shouldn't. They should take his phone privileges away from him for that opinion.
Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!
Okay.
All right. Thank you. This one is specifically for Bean because it's kind of a burn.
Hey, Bean. Guess where I'm going to right now? Jury duty. Suck it!
That does hurt me.
Right?
That does hurt
Such
me.
Such a sick burn.
I don't know. People love to burn other people. I get so many emails from people.
Man,
who, sorry. I get so many emails. Like, I got an email this morning from a lady who's on a tour of Hawaii, and she's taking pictures of all the post offices she's encountering and sending them to me just to burn me because she's there and I'm not.
I mean, it's fun.
And the jury duty, man, that one really does hurt me because I can tell if somebody's guilty just by looking at them.
And I love that the burn from that woman isn't that she's in Hawaii.
No.
It's that she's seeing post offices.
Correct.
Exactly. That's true. Yes. Yeah. I misunderstood a call the other day where a woman...
Oh, no. It was so good.
Where a woman said that she likes to watch her husband have sex with other people, and I asked for the address, thinking that it was the other way around.
Right.
And I didn't quite understand.
Yeah, this message is for Kevin. my wife likes to watch me have sex with other people. So I was just wondering if you were free this weekend. I'm open, and she loves to watch me give it to someone else. So, yeah, Kevin, give me up.
There you go.
I mean, you said that.
You got plans now
the wrong way. The Bean guy called back.
Hey, Bean. Hey, me again. Just want to give you an update. Just came from jury duty. No big deal. Oh, it was so much fun. I loved it. I'm going back tomorrow. So take that, nipple boy.
Nipple boys, maybe the best nickname ever.
I don't think I need that.
All right, this is Bean thinks that Necco's is a good food.
First of all, it's a delicious candy that has been popular for over 150 years. Unfortunately, the company was recently sold. They closed down the factory, so all
because
of
it was too successful. Would you think, Bean?
All of us Necco enthusiasts are going out and finding as many as we can to buy them to hold us over since they're not making any new ones.
All right. Everyone, just stop what they're doing and listen. Mm-hmm. Necco's are the best.
Nope.
Bean, I love you.
Nope.
Kevin, you are dead to me.
True.
Allie, you're okay.
How come Allie's okay? She agreed with me.
I will tell you that I disappointed myself because I was able to find 11 Necco's the other day at the
11 Walmart. Packages of Necco's.
Packages of Necco's, yeah. Right. And my plan was to dole those out real, real slow because I don't know when they'll ever be made again. I've already eaten an entire package of one. So now I'm down to 10.
All right. Head on down to Target, buy some chalk, gnawing that.
Exactly.
Same thing.
This will probably be one of your favorite calls.
Hi, I'm going to interview the Kevin and Bean Show as babies. Hey, baby Kevin, did you know that Lionel Messi is also my favorite soccer player?
Have you seen all the hind hymns?
And baby Allie, what's 10 to the 6th power?
60.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Okay, good. And baby Bean, what's your favorite candy?
I like Xavier so much. Nico.
Oh, my gosh!
That's actual time traveling.
How great is that?
There was a story that we did. Was it yesterday when we started playing maybe two or three warnings?
Yes.
And a listener was very upset with us for that.
God damn it, Kevin. I just spent, like, my whole drive here listening to you play the stupid parental advisory warnings. I really needed to hear that Bigfoot erotica story. I tune in to hear Bean and his stupid stories and you guys making fun of his stupid stories, not to hear 15 minutes of parental advisory warnings. Now I can't listen to the story until later because I got to pick my kids up. Way to go, Kevin. Fix your life.
We may have overwarned you.
Oh, no, it was just right
on that story about the Bigfoot.
It was just perfect.
So I'm listening to a random playlist last night, and a song comes on that I recognize.
I just would like to say
I'm not a big fan of listeners being able to request stuff and say, hit it, Steve.
Okay.
That's not cool.
All right.
So I look at the artist and realize that it's Corinne... gosh. You know, I can't remember her name. Kev Dog, can you help me out with that?
Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bale-Rea. An unforgettable moment with An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bale-Rea. Wow.
Yeah. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
Sticker. Limited edition K-Rock. Sticker. Limited edition K-Rock.
The new limited edition K-Rock sticker is back. Take a photo with it for your Instagram. Tag K-Rock Gorillas and you'll get a reaction. Then go mention us and Hot Topic in the caption.
We gon' go hard on that gift card like rock stars. $500 peel off the back. Give it a smack like rock stars. You'll have some luck. Hot Topic, get it, get it. K-Rock. Private Gorillas concert. Watch me win a Honda Fit.
Get it at Hot Topic, your destination for pop culture and music merch. With access to a private concert, a Hot Topic shopping spree, and a brand new 2019 Honda Fit.
Driven by your helpful SoCal Honda dealers and their random acts of helpfulness.
Is this weird for you, Kevin, because you're looking at the man you want to be?
I mean, I did play in a smaller tournament of the World Series of Poker, one of those that they have coming up to, you know, the main event.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Winner John Sin is in the studio with us. Yes, I see you have the bracelet on, Ellie.
She's rocking it.
And I was very excited about winning my $5,000. Woo! I thought that was the best. Uh-huh. How much did you win?
First place was $8.8
million. $8.8
million.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. Has it hit you yet?
I'm not sure. You know, I haven't really done anything too crazy with my money yet. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's like moments where I'm like, wow.
How do they give it to you? Just write a check?
They give you a couple options, but I took a little bit in cash and the rest was wired. That was probably the first time I realized how much money I actually
had. How much did you take in cash, if you don't mind my asking?
Right. Yeah, so I took $300,000 in cash.
It was
such a big pile of money, and then I realized how much more money was being wired into my account.
Right. That's insane.
Yeah.
You got like small bills?
all in ones.
I got quarters, nickels.
John, why are you doing a morning radio interview if you've got $8 million in the bank? Like, first of all, we should have had to come to you. And second of all, it should have been sometime late afternoon for this interview.
Late afternoon might have helped, but, you know, as a poker player, I don't really have a sleeping schedule or anything.
So tell people how many hours it takes to win the World Series of Poker.
How many hours?
The main event.
Let's see. There was 10 playing days. Each playing day was probably about 10, 12 hours long.
Oh, my gosh.
But then the last day was even longer. The heads-up match itself was like 11 hours, I think. 10 and a half hours.
One-on-one.
Yes.
11 and a half hours.
Yes.
How do you not just lose your concentration and just
zone out or
make huge mistakes?
You know, I think there was a period where I was definitely fading a little bit, and then my friend threw me a banana, and he likes to credit himself. He's
literally
just like, you got to get your potassium, yeah. And, you know, he throws me a banana, and from then on, I was like zoned in, and
he takes credit for it.
Yeah.
And now he's sponsored by bananas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you have to break him off a little cash?
What's that?
Did he want a little cash for his efforts?
You know, actually, I think a lot of my friends bet on me. So
is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, it was that part was actually really cool too, because when we were walking up, like at the sports books and stuff like that, they had like odds for players to win. So that was kind of cool to see too.
John, how long have you been playing poker professionally?
Professionally, yeah, I would guess about 4 or 5 years now, maybe closer to 5 years.
And what was the biggest jackpot you ever won before this year?
2 years ago, I got 11th in the same event, which was $650,000.
That's all?
Okay.
Yeah, and for me, at the time, and still, even with his score, you know, that's a large score.
You were thrilled with that?
Yeah, I was.
Because you made $650,000.
Yeah, that was like a million. That was like 8.8 to me at the time.
You are, I want to come back to the 8.8 in a minute, but you are a young man. You look like you're not even 30 yet, right?
33.
33, okay.
That's my lucky number.
Mine too.
You two are meant for each other. So it couldn't have been that long ago that you had to have that chat with your parents that we all have when we've decided that we're going to go in a different direction than they would hope for us?
Yeah, I don't know.
How did that go when you said to mom and dad, you know what, I think I'm just going to play cards for a living?
I don't know if we all have that chat, but...
Well, a lot of us do.
Most of us do, yeah.
Especially those of us in radio, we have that chat.
Is that right? Yeah, I actually didn't
Were they
even,
supportive?
No, I actually didn't tell my parents for probably like 6 months.
Is that right?
After I was doing it, just because I knew they were going to be devastated, and they were.
And what did they think you were doing at that time?
Well, my last job was as a consultant, so I traveled a lot, so they just assumed I was...
So you just kept traveling from tournament to tournament.
Well, I was living in L.A. and they lived in Chicago, so they
weren't like
keeping tabs on me. So it was easy to lie to them, John.
I didn't lie, I just didn't tell them the truth.
Right.
There's a difference,
well,
right?
That's not
one of them's okay, right?
There's a difference, sure.
What's the definition of is, Mr. Clinton? I know this is a very difficult question to ask, and forgive me because maybe you've been asked it a million times, but can you put a percentage on luck versus skill when it comes to poker? I mean, you are certainly at the mercy of the cards you get, for sure.
For sure. And especially in something like one tournament, it's so volatile. I mean, some of the best players in the world will never make the final table. You know, a lot of players that are better than me will never make the final table. So,
and that's because there's so many places during that tournament where you have to go all in and you're at the mercy of luck. How many times how many times did you get so lucky after you thought, this is it, I'm done, I'm walking away?
Ooh, that's a good question. I was probably all in like 5 or 6 times, I would guess. Like 4 that I can remember, so which probably means I was more than that. I mean, the reality is there's almost 8,000 people that enter. So if you think everyone's about equal in skill, you're about 1 in 8,000 to win, you know?
Yeah, when you put it that way, it's a miracle that anyone wins.
And the problem
But someone has to win it.
Someone has to win it. Right?
And the problem is if you have aces and you bet them strong or whatever, there are people that don't have any idea how to play and they'll call you with a 4-6 and they'll end up winning just on a draw. It's just insane. You can play right and still get knocked out.
Sure. I mean, you would be shocked at, like, you know, how many good players exit early and how many players that, you know, don't have as good of a clue go super deep in the tournament.
Did you have anything leading up to it, like, you know, superstition, like a baseball player will wear the same socks, that type of thing?
If you watch, I definitely wore the same jeans and the same hoodie every time.
Really?
Yeah, I think part of it was like superstition. Like,
that's
you know,
gross.
if you change this hoodie, like things might go bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think there was some like practicality to it too. Like I knew it was comfortable.
Well.
I was comfortable in it. I didn't pack. I only planned to be there for 3 days, not 10.
No. No,
And then, yeah, just, you know, not having to think about, like, changing your outfit every day and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, trying to focus as much as you can on the tournament.
Our guest is John Sin, by the way. He is the 2018 World Series of Poker Main Event Champion. He won $8.8 million in Las Vegas in July, just last month. By the way, what's the tax situation on winnings like
that? They take all of it.
How much do you actually walk away with, John?
I'm actually still talking with my tax guy to figure that out, but
okay.
I didn't have all of myself. I had sold pieces and then I had,
People sponsor you and then they get some?
Yeah, in general, people sponsor you, but in my case, I didn't really need to be sponsored, and it was more friends who just wanted a sweat, like, you know, who wanted a rooting interest, as Mark would call it. And then, as you get deeper in the tournament, sometimes you find players that you want to swap percentages with just to reduce variance.
Do you wish you had a background in finance?
I do have a little background in finance. I studied
finance
in college.
Did you major in it in college?
I did.
It's insane to me.
And you must be great at math as well.
I'm okay at math.
Really?
Do you still enjoy playing poker, or is it so much a job now that it's hard for you to just get any joy out of it?
No, I definitely enjoy playing poker, but I think for me, there was definitely stretches where I, you know, thought it was a job and it was just a grind and I hated it. But for me, you know, as long as you're around good people and playing with good people, you know, it's really enjoyable. It can be a really good social game.
What's the earliest that you exited a tournament in the last 2-3 years?
Last year in the main event, I exited day one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that gives you hope, Kevin.
Wow.
Well, I was going to say, I got exited on the third hand.
Third hand?
So
I don't know if I could beat that record, but...
I don't think you want to beat
strong.
That record.
Yeah. I mean, to get knocked out in the third hand, I think that's, you know, that's just, you got to get unlucky.
Well, I mean, yeah. I had Trip Kings, and he had a flush, so what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
All right, well... See ya. Then you do the walk of shame way too soon.
Trip Kings is my favorite hand.
Yeah, great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, me too.
It was,
great.
It was how I won the tournament.
Oh, you won it with that. Oh, Kevin, you're like, Kings. You're polar opposite.
Yeah. He won $8.8 million, yeah. And I got kicked out.
Yes.
Oh, we're exactly the opposite.
So you don't ever have to play cards again if you don't want to. You don't ever have to work again if you don't want to.
Yeah,
but
that's something.
You got a lot of years ahead of you to fill up, so I assume you're going to stick with it, right?
Yeah, for sure. I enjoy playing the game, but I definitely have, you know, different things I want to look into as far as investments and stuff go. So
when you're heads up with somebody for that long, do you really, really, really get to know them? What'd you say, 10, 11 hours? One guy?
10, 11 hours, one guy. I mean, in a way you do and in a way you don't, because we had access to the history of our hands. Like, we were just on a 30-minute delay, so we had, you know, people telling us our hands. So there was a lot of adjusting going on. So there was a lot of dynamics changing during.
So wait,
the 10,
you said 30-minute delay, meaning that a coach can come up and tell you what he had and how he played it?
Yeah, basically.
Wow, interesting.
There's so much going on at the World Series of Poker,
yeah,
that I had
yeah,
no
it really
idea.
It you know, in a way, it's kind of weird because it's, you know, it's considered like the pinnacle of poker, but it's, in a way, it's also like poker you'll never play, you know? Like, you'll never have, like, a team behind you telling you what happened 30 minutes ago.
That's
you
right.
Know?
Right.
And you won't have, like, you know, hundreds of people cheering for you or cheering against you. You know, it's kind of crazy.
Well, it's an honor to meet you. Congratulations on the big win. Allie is single, in case you were wondering.
I know.
She's
guy.
Lovely.
You guys are going on a singles trip, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you
yes.
come?
We're going to Vegas.
I feel like you might
I'm
be
sure
a hit.
I'm sure you'd be excited.
You might
yes.
be a hit there.
I think people would be excited to meet you, John. So congratulations. Thank you so much for coming in. I hope we get to talk to you again down the road.
Of course, for sure.
You bet.
Thank you, John.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Nally is here with our final look at what's happening.
What's happening is this Smashing Pumpkin show last night, you guys. So they're doing this big reunion tour, Shiny and Oh So Bright. And last night they pulled into Homedale, New Jersey for a special 30th anniversary concert. Just some of the notable guests, Courtney Love, Deftones frontman Chino Moreno, Peter Hook of Joy Division and New Order.
Wow.
Yeah, not bad,
impressive.
Right? So Chino was the first to take the stage. He joined the Pumpkins for rare performances of Bodies and Snail. Snail, they haven't played since 2000.
Okay.
Wow.
Were there a lot of people waiting for Snail?
Y'all went, Snail!
Yes!
I mean, is the reason they haven't played it since 2000 because no Pumpkins fans has wanted to hear it since 2000?
I mean,
why do you got to go negative, Bean?
Seriously.
I'm just asking.
We're just trying to have a fun time.
Seriously.
Maybe there's a reason.
It'll ruin everything.
I don't. Does he deserve the rest of the story?
Bean does not, no, but okay. I think our listeners do.
All right. Yeah. The most left-field moment of the night, Smashing Pumpkins covered Sugar Ray's hit song, Fly, with the band singer Mark McGrath. Mark McGrath was there. All right. And then he participated in a cover of Judas Priest's Breaking the Law. What is happening at this show?
Wow.
Right?
Sounds fun.
I like it. And then Courtney Love came out to lead the Pumpkins by performing a couple of Hole songs, Celebrity Skin and Malibu, both co-written by Billy Corgan. So it made perfect sense. Really, really good.
How about that?
Yeah, sounds like a blast.
Did they film this at all or anything? Do we know?
McGrath filmed several of the tour's background visuals. I don't know what that means.
I'm hoping there's more than that.
I'm hoping, yeah, he wasn't just like, look at this painting behind them. I don't know what's happening. But wouldn't you think that show of all shows?
Yeah, I would assume so.
They're
yeah.
definitely recording
Don't
that.
You think all big bands now record all shows?
You would think, yeah.
Some type of video?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's cheap now, so you can do it.
Right.
All right, let me ask you guys this. Although it's super fun when you go to see a band and they do a cover that you didn't expect, do you want to hear anybody do Stairway to Heaven? Because they perform that as well as part of their set.
Probably.
Would you be excited if whatever band you went to see, Kevin, they did Stairway to Heaven?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, that song.
I don't think
so. God bless it, but it's so boring.
It's pretty ponderous when it's not being done by Led Zeppelin.
Right.
I think.
Did Led Zeppelin show up
Great
in
question.
New Jersey to perform
Because if
with
not,
them?
We're out.
Yes.
Okay.
Did they or did they not?
They did not.
Okay, then.
Okay.
We're out.
Yeah, bad choice. Bad choice, guys. So Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are teaming up to make a movie about the man who managed to rig the McDonald's Monopoly game. This came out in an article in the Daily Beast. They ran the story over the weekend, and apparently the bidding war began. Everyone thought this needs to be a movie. Damon will be starring as con man Jerome Jacobson, and Affleck will direct. The writers of this movie, you might know them from a little movie called Deadpool, a little follow-up Deadpool 2. Great movie called Zombieland. Writers Paul Wernick and Rhett Reese.
I would see anything they do.
Amen.
Why did it take this article coming out years after the story for people to go, hey, there's a movie here? Where were people? Were people just not paying attention?
I mean, I wasn't aware of it before this article.
No idea.
I didn't know anything about it.
Did you know about it?
Yeah.
Of course we knew about it.
Really?
But I watched the news. I'm not a kid.
Being read about it in real time.
The con man had a blog. How did nobody find it?
We can't get through the door. What do we do?
It's absolutely insane. Good stuff, you guys.
You should mention just briefly the reason we're all excited about it is because it's a policeman who was supposed to be guarding the winning pieces for the McDonald's Monopoly game. So if you went and you were trying to land on Boardwalk, you could never find Boardwalk.
I tried that so many times and I could not get Boardwalk.
Guess that's why?
This a-hole.
Because he stole it and mailed it to friends around the country and had them all cash in. And it was... He didn't win $8,000, you guys. He won like $20 million.
Yeah, it's insane.
Scamming the game.
Yeah. He was nicknamed Uncle Jerry, and his accomplices were captured in this complex FBI sting operation titled Operation Final Answer. Everything about this.
That could be a good movie.
Amazing. Absolutely. Whew, I'm in. And Fox has a whole slew of new shows coming out, and they all seem to be game shows. Like Justin Timberlake producing a new game show with massive cash prizes called Spin the Wheel. You're going to have a chance to win more than $20 million per episode, tackling pop culture trivia and then spinning a giant wheel. It's like The Wall, but with a wheel. And Dax Shepard will host that. Then, if that's not enough at Fox, maybe you tune in for a new show called Mental Samurai, hosted and produced by Rob Lowe.
Oh.
Here's the thing. Contestants are going to be battling the boundaries of their mind to answer questions quickly and accurately. But they're also going to be in a specially designed capsule that rotates 360 degrees.
This is all stupidity.
All right. Can I interest you in something called The Masked Singer? That is a celebrity that has a mask on and then an elaborate costume. You don't know who the celebrity is. They're going to sing a tune. And then there's going to be detectives. That'll be the judges. Ken Jeong, Jenny McCarthy, Nicole Scherzinger, and Robin Thicke. By the way, the host for that show, Nick Cannon.
I don't feel like that's needed.
What if I told you it's not a whodunit, it's a who sung it?
I'm even...
Burn it down.
Even more out, yes. This sounds terrible.
All right.
Plus, they might have three or four good celebrities at the beginning, but episode 14...
Yeah.
You get the Catch Me Outside girl.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, come on.
How about not that? I'm real tired.
No, that was perfect.
Some birthdays for you. We've got Evangeline Lilly, Martha Stewart, Martin Sheen, John C. McGinley, Carly Kloss, Todd Gurley from the Rams, Hannah Simone, and James Hetfield. Don't have that.
We don't have that, no.
Darkness imprisoning me. All that I see, absolute horror, I cannot live.
I mean,
well done.
I'll do it live. That's my Bill O'Reilly right there. F it. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Stryker's commercial free-for-all during your drive home today starting at 5 p.m. We'll see some of you in Las Vegas. We'll see the rest of you on Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
But seriously, let's call Muggs back for another update. What do you guys think?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't like mosquitoes.
But don't bogart that joint.
Are you joking me right now?
Just pass it around.
Dude, bro.
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
They had a fish named Abraham.
Well, just pass it on.
Just want to say,
I'm disgusted with the two of you. You get out of here.
Things were said, mistakes were made. Let's end this madness and get on with our lives.
I'm a Jace, I'm a Dais. I'm a Dais, I'm a Dais, I'm a Dais. I'm a Dais, I'm a Dais, I'm a Dais. Oh, 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 I'm a Dais. Rock me, I'm a Dais.
Are they leaving, Dan?
No, can we try another station?
No, 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 it's good. After this one, we can change it.
Quitters never give up.
Bong, bong.